will. Let's go to two passages, one in Ephesians chapter 4, another over in Colossians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 4, if you will, and then Colossians chapter 3. So if you open your Bibles up, and we're just going to take a little time and look at an issue and look into something that people have problems with, and we'll try to get some wisdom about it, all right? All right, Ephesians chapter 4, if you will, look down the last, well, next to the last verse in that chapter, verse 31. Ephesians 4:31, the Bible says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." In turn, if you will, look in Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, and once again, just one verse here. The Bible says, "But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth." You know, I'll be real honest, there's a lot of preaching to be found in these verses, okay? You can preach for a while and still have stuff left over because there's some things, if you will, some practices, some characteristics that really need to be put off and put away, okay? That means they're to be gotten rid of. I think about it this way. You ought to put them in the trash can and haul them off. Don't put them in the closet. Don't stick them under the bed. They can be retrieved there, all right? These are things that not to put in range of retrieval, but these things ought to be put where they just cannot be retrieved, they cannot be touched, they cannot be gotten again, because you need to get rid of them. And just to be honest, we're not going to try to take the time because we don't have the time tonight to cover every one of these. Just want to focus on that one word, that one characteristic, that one practice that so many have problems with. And you, if you were to guess, you'd probably think what it is. It's that one thing, which is anger. Anger. The Bible said we're to get rid of it. We're to lay it aside. We're to put it off. It's anger. It is anger that drives families apart in a lot of homes. It's anger. It's anger that causes many people to leave a church. Oftentimes, it causes Bible preaching. They get angry. People get angry. I remember when we were living in Florida and Dad was pastoring there, there was a fellow that got mad one day at church and got mad about what was preached, and he went outside and he made a comment to another member and said, "I'm never coming back." And I remember my dad went to see him. And this is the saddest thing. My dad went to see him and he said, "Well, preacher, I know that was a dumb thing for me to say, but since I said it, I'm going to stick with it." Anger. Anger, all right? It's anger that drives what we've come to refer to and know as road rage and even drive-by shootings, you know. Anger. People get angry. Now, I believe it's real important we get some wisdom about anger. Very important. Now, I would like to be able to stand here and say I've never had any problems or issues with anger, and I know none of you have either. And the truth of the matter is I could say that. But it probably, there's a lot of times that not be true. Because we deal with anger, all right? We need to be wise because anger can be a terrible force. But we need to be wise because not all anger is bad. Not all anger is bad. So let's just take a look at it tonight. First of all, as anything else, anger has a cause. Has a cause. Something causes people to get angry. Take your Bible, if you will, back in the Old Testament, 1 Samuel chapter 17, would you? 1 Samuel chapter 17. I would just look at some verses here in the Word of God. We're not going to try to cover every cause of everybody that ever's gotten angry. We don't have that much time. We don't want to be here that long. And if I did that, we'd leave one out, and you'd think, well, my reason must be okay then. He left it out. 1 Samuel 17, look, if you will, down in verse 28. The Bible says this, "And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, why comest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. Here's Eliab, the brother of David, the older brother. What in the world stirred him up? David came down because his dad sent him down to check on his brothers, take them some food. David should have said, well, forget it. I won't give you your part, all right? But he was down there to check on his brothers, to bring his dad back word how they were doing and just, you know, check and see how the battle was going. And so that's the reason he was there. And he asked some questions about what was going on. And boy, his brother hears it, and he gets bent out of shape. Said, why in the world? Well, I don't know. Maybe frustration, maybe envy. I don't know what drove him to do it. You know, maybe he was frustrated with their inability to deal with Goliath as the part, you know, the soldiers. And so he resented his brother coming along and bringing it up, you know, and pointing it out. Hey, fellas, y'all ain't done anything about it. And so maybe it was that kind of thing. Maybe at the same time he was ashamed of himself and especially his own refusal to step forward and take on Goliath. He could have done it. So maybe it was that, all right? Maybe it was ashamed. Maybe it was envious of the attention David had garnered. But something, and I believe some of that is involved in it, he got mad about it. You know, sometimes it's our own inadequacies, if you will, that cause us to be angry with other people. It's not their fault. Hey, it wasn't David's fault Eliab was mad. Hey, there was something within the heart of Eliab that caused him to take it out on David, get angry with him and express that anger, all right? That anger, when it comes from that's really because of our own selves and what we don't do. But we get mad and jump somebody else about it. You ever been in a situation where, I'm sure you've never been angry like that, but you've been in a situation maybe where somebody jumped you and you thought, what in the world? You know, David, he came back and he said, well, man, is there not a cause? What are you jumping on me about? Anger causes people to do it, and maybe it is that frustration that brings that anger. Look, if you will, over in the book of Esther, Esther chapter 1. Esther chapter 1. Here's another example of someone who got mad, and I believe we see the reason he got mad, okay? Esther chapter 1. In Esther chapter 1, if you will, look in verse 12. Esther 1, verse 12. But the queen Vashti refused to come at the king's commandment by his chamberlains. Therefore was the king very wroth, and his anger burned in him. Now, I don't know if you're familiar with the story, what happened here, but there had been a great party thrown, if you will, and everybody was there, and the king wanted Vashti, his queen, basically come out and show off your beauty. You know, you just come out here and show it off to all these drunks that are here, and that's what I want you to do. And Vashti said, not going to do it. Not going to do it. Man, the Bible said, but king got mad, man, his anger welled up, you know, and it got a hold of him. You say, what was going on? Well, his will had been thwarted. His will had been thwarted. And it's my will for you to come, and you said no. Man, I'm mad. Boy, sometimes people get mad when that happens, all right? We don't get our way. Now, that's basically what it boils down to. The king didn't get his way, and because he didn't get his way, he got mad. You know, I wish I could stand here and tell you the only people who have trouble with that in the world is kids. Kids get mad when they don't get their way. They get all bent out of shape. They don't get their way. The sad thing is adults do too. Anger comes about. Why? Well, I didn't get my way. If I'd have gotten my way, it would have been different. Take your Bible back to 1 Samuel. You said, why couldn't we have went there? Well, just to give you some exercise, all right? We were there earlier, but let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 20, all right? 1 Samuel chapter 20, here's another example of someone who got very mad lost it. Their anger overwhelmed them, all right? 1 Samuel chapter 20, if you will, look at verse 30. Then Saul's anger was kindled against Jonathan, and he said unto him, Thou son of the perverse, rebellious woman, do not I know that thou hast chosen the son of Jesse to thine own confusion and unto the confusion of thy mother's nakedness? Hey, Saul's jealousy caused him to be angry with his own son. His own son, his own jealousy. Saul was worried about his own position, and he didn't have enough sense to know that he didn't need to worry about it. God was in control of what was going to happen to Saul. Saul's enemy was not David. Saul's enemy was Saul. A man, he got mad. Why? Because there was that jealousy towards David. This was the one where the people had sang, well, Saul has slain his thousands, but David his 10,000s, all right? And man, it got that jealousy that just began to grow, and it grew and grew, and man, it produced that kind of anger that even when Jonathan merely answered a question that his dad had asked, well, where's David, all right? And Jonathan answered it, and his anger rose up against Jonathan. Why? Was it because of what Jonathan did? No, it's because of what's going on in Saul. Hey, do you sort of get the picture? A lot of times our anger is not really out there. It's right here. It's within us, okay? It's within us. Look at Proverbs, would you? Turn to Proverbs chapter 15, this thing called anger. And now, none of us ever get mad. We just have a little righteous indignation, right? Proverbs chapter 15, all right? Proverbs chapter 15. The Bible says, verse 1, Proverbs 15, verse 1, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but look at this last part, but grievous words stir up anger. Boy, you want something that'll bring out anger? Words can do it. Words can do it. Hey, you've been married any length of time, you know the words that can bring anger to your spouse. We know. We'll say it this way. We know how to push their button. Right? And we don't have to touch them. It's just some words. You've been married any length of time, you know how to do it. The truth of the matter is we make many people angry with the words that are used. People make folks angry because of the words they use. The Bible refers to them as grievous words. Grievous words. It's what we say. And oftentimes it's not only what we say, it's the way we say it. It's the way that it comes out. Those words stir up anger in other people. Now, sometimes, unfortunately, people do that on purpose. So I know you're going to get mad, but I'm going to tell you anyway. Well, wait a minute now. You know, we need to be careful. Words bring about a lot of anger. Now, you say, well, I didn't mean to do it. Well, did you stop to think before you spoke? Hey, it's so important that we realize the words come out of our mouth can cause a lot of anger. That's the sources of anger. Anger has a cause. Oftentimes, it's just simply words. Just simply words. You see people just boil over when they hear something, right? I had a fellow one time. He's in heaven now, so I think it'll be all right if I tell you this experience. I don't think anybody, and most of you wouldn't know this individual if I called their name, but well, there was a fellow, he was working, going to do some work around the school, and they were using the ping pong table kind of as a, you know, sawhorse, if you will. And all I said was, hey, now y'all be careful, don't mess up my ping pong table. Boom! Anger. I thought, man, mean to me. I just wanted to sort of remind you, we do use that. And it's better if it's in just two big pieces, not. Hey, anger, words. Words. We get angry over words. Now, God help us. God help us not to intentionally say something for no other reason except to make somebody mad. And by the way, if you know how to say it without making them mad, you ought to do it that way. We shouldn't have the attitude, well, I don't care if they get mad, they just get mad. Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. What kind of attitude is that? Not my fault they can't take the truth. Who minds being beaten over the head by the truth, right? Yeah, just go ahead and beat me to death with it. No, we mind. I'm just telling you, words can do it. We need to be careful that we're not guilty of that. Hey, anger is not only has a cause, but anger always brings about consequences. There will always be consequences when people get mad. You're still there in Proverbs. Look in chapter 29, all right? Chapter 29, always. It's so good to be wise about anger. You said, preacher, you're not telling me anything I don't know. Good. Well, I want you to remember it, all right? Proverbs 29, verse 22, the Bible says this, an angry man stirreth up strife, and a furious man aboundeth in transgression. Hey, an angry man stirs up strife. You know, if you get really angry, a man that's really angry, he tends to want to make the situation worse. I'm mad, and I want everybody to know it, so I'm going to make this situation a whole lot worse. Angry man stirs up strife. You ever been in the situation where somebody comes in and they're truly, truly mad and they're going to talk to you? Let me just say this to you. Just let them talk. Just let them talk. It's not necessary to answer them. Just let them talk. Because if you're not careful, it'll stir up strife. Stir up strife. You know, I mentioned husbands and wives. We say things, and then the spouse says it, and it comes to us. Oh yeah, well, what are we doing? Well, let's make it worse. Hey, let's get some gas, pour it on the fire. All right. Hey, just angry man stirs up strife. We get angry, we cause problems. We just stir something up. Doesn't have to be, but we do it. All right. Look in chapter 14 of Proverbs. This is one thing I just, you know, I think I give 4,000 illustrations of this, but I'm not going to. In Proverbs 14, verse 17, here it is. He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly. Foolishly. You know why? Hey, you hear me. Angry people and that angry man, when you're angry, you can't think right. You don't think right. Anger causes people to do foolish things. My favorite illustration, I've told it before, tell it again. I was sitting on the parking lot at Kroger down here, the one that's no longer in business, down here on Denton Highway, sitting in the parking lot, wife's inside getting something, and I was guarding our parking place. No, I was just sitting there in the vehicle, and all of a sudden, man, I hear this racket down the way, and I looked up. Looked down there, and this guy was taking his fist and just working his car over. I mean, he would bam, you could hear him hitting it, you know. I mean, slugging his car. He's going to it, boom, boom, you know. And I just watched him. I thought, I wonder if he can knock it out and it'll roll over, you know. but he beat on it a while. Then he came by in front of me. You can say, man, he's in pain. That's good. There's pain relievers in there. All right, you know, maybe get some help. Why? Wasn't that brilliant? What a brilliant thing to do. And I'm glad I've never done anything like that. I've never hit my car. I remember one time in a volleyball match. Pretty sure it's volleyball. Girls were playing, and this is a long time ago, and they did something that I thought was rather dumb. And, man, I hit the bench just like that. Bam! I didn't let on anybody, but man, that hurt. You know, I thought, I don't think I'm going to do that again. But why? Well, we get angry. We get angry, do foolish things, do stupid things. I've been in a house before, and I walked in a house, and there were holes in the wall. holes in the wall. Now, they weren't anywhere you would normally find a hole, except you could tell they were right at the right level for somebody to punch a hole in the wall. Now, there's not a person in here would say, well, that's smart. We understand that. You know, when you get mad, beat up your house. Knock a hole in your wall. That'll help you. Now, I don't know how you feel about it, all right? But if I knocked a hole in the wall, every time I come by, I'd be mad again, all right? I say, you dummy. Hey, people do foolish things. Why? Hey, look, an intelligent person who is thinking doesn't beat up the front fender of their automobile, all right? You don't do it. A person who is in their right mind, thinking right, doesn't punch holes in their bedroom wall or in the, you know, wall in the hall. You don't do that. Why does it happen? Anger causes us to do things because causes us to do foolish things. Why? Well, you don't think right when you're angry. You just don't think right. By the way, I'll say this goes right along with it. When you're angry, you'll be unreasonable. It's just unreasonable. Why? You ever tried to reason with a person who's angry? Can I just suggest you might as well save your mouth and save your, you know, words. You're not going to get anywhere with them. There's no reasoning with them. Years ago, I had a couple come in at school, and they had a child in school, and they wanted to meet me. I said, sure. And I didn't know there was any kind of problem whatsoever. Had no idea what they wanted to talk about. When they got there, sat down in the office, and boom, man, they just started dumping on me. Everything they could think of that have occurred in the last 6 to 8 months, here it was. Poosh, poosh, poosh. Man, they were mad. You said, what'd you do? Nothing. Well, didn't you answer their accusations? Why? There wasn't any reason to. Because it wouldn't have gotten anywhere. I could not reason with them whatsoever. I just sat there and listened. And the hardest part sometimes was me to keep from laughing. And I don't want you to misunderstand me here. Not because I did not take what they were saying seriously, but at how trivial some of their complaints were. And I'm thinking, this is so simple. Why didn't you just call me when it happened? Well, you know, just deal with it. We deal with it, be okay. But hey, when you get angry, you're unreasonable. People can't reason with you. When you get mad, they don't think, they just react. I mean, you know, what do? That's why you punch a wall when you're mad. Reaction. You with me? Hey, listen. That's anger. It's anger. Unreasonable behavior. But wait a minute. Go to Proverbs chapter 19. This part that angry people ought to consider, okay? The Bible says, a man of great wrath, chapter 19, verse 19, a man of great wrath shall suffer punishment. Shall suffer punishment. You're going to suffer. Hey, can I just say, it kind of goes along with the previous points. Can't think right. You're unreasonable. You stir up strife. You're going to suffer punishment. There's going to be punishment. There's going to do that. People that act the fool have to pay for their foolishness. All right? It's just going to take place. You've got to do it. You can't get away from it. There'll be some punishment. Now, depending upon what you do when you're angry is going to determine how bad the punishment can become. Now, sometimes the punishment is, I think I broke my hand. Okay? I may have broken my hand, you know. Why? Well, I was angry. There's going to be punishment. Sometimes if it's enough, somebody else will administer the punishment. Sometimes it's the police that get involved. Why? Anger. Listen, it'll bring punishment. All right? It'll bring punishment. But let me look at this third thing real quick. I want to say this to you. Anger can be controlled. Can be controlled. Take your Bible back to Psalms. Psalms 37. Psalm 37. You look at one verse here in the Psalm. Psalm 37. Would you look with me down at verse 8? Verse 8. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Well, preacher, you just say that like it's an easy thing to do. I'm just reading you the Bible. But I want to say this to you, okay? God wouldn't have told us to do it if it could not be done. God never tell us to do something that we cannot do. So if he comes along and tells us in the Bible, cease from anger and forsake wrath, that means we can do that. We can do that. We can stop. We can do that. We can take a step. You know, I better not tell that. So it's somebody else's life. I better not get involved, okay? But sometimes maybe somebody gets mad and you think, well, I should throw some cold water on them. That'll cool them off. Well, it might. It might make them madder, okay? But the one we need to deal with is if you, and if you're angry, then you need to deal with that anger. And you need to realize you don't have to do it. Now, you say, well, preacher, it's easy to say. Look, there's a lot of things easy to say, hard to do. But the Bible doesn't tell us, hey, just do what's easy. Life's not made up of things that are easy. It's made of things often difficult. You may have to work at it, but the Bible gives us this assurance. If God has told us to do it, we can do it. We can do that. I've opened up myself. I've told you the last time I got in trouble with my anger and lost my temper, and I said, that's it. Not doing that again. Not doing it again. God being my helper has not happened, okay? He said, well, have you ever got angry? Yeah, I've got angry, but I didn't lose it, all right? Didn't lose it. Here's what we need to realize, all right? We need to realize this, and this is one thing I don't think people grasp. Go back to Proverbs 19. Go back to Proverbs chapter 19. That's the verse that said, you know, that angry man, he's going to suffer punishment, okay? Man of great wrath shall suffer punishment. But I want you to back up in that chapter a little bit, Proverbs 19. I want you to look at verse 11. The discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression. Can I just boil this verse down to just one simple slogan? You don't have to get mad. You don't have to get mad. Sometimes I think people think it's their right and their duty to get mad. It's my right, it's my duty, you've wronged me, you've done something, I shall and I must get mad. Well, where does the Bible say that, all right? The Bible says just the opposite. Look, he said, the discretion of a man deferreth his anger. It is his glory to pass over a transgression. When somebody transgresses against us, that oftentimes is when we get mad. We just lose it, all right? Get mad. Why? Well, that's because of what you did. So you had to get mad. Well, yes, I did. No, you didn't. No, you did. Hey, we don't have to get mad, all right? You just don't have to do it. You can pass over a transgression. You can defer. You can put it off. I started to say, how many of you ever had deferred adjudication? Don't raise your hand. Oftentimes you get a traffic ticket in the state of Texas. If you want to try to keep it off your record, you can go through this thing called deferred adjudication. And if you pass the time and go through that period of time and you don't get another ticket, then it won't go on your driving record, which is a blessing when you're paying car insurance, all right? Deferred adjudication. My wife's had to do it a bunch of times. I was kidding. She did, all right? I was kidding. All right, but hey, it's a good thing to do, all right? Good thing to do. We want that deferred. Hey, well, you can do that with your anger. Somebody wrongs you. Somebody steps over the line. Somebody goes too far. And you say, well, I'm going to get mad. Wait a minute. You don't have to do that, all right? You don't have to do that. Can I just say this to you? You're in control of you. Well, I lost control. That's because we turn loose of the controls. That's how we lose control. We turn loose of it. Don't let that anger do that to you, all right? Look in chapter 15 of Proverbs. We read the verse just a minute ago, and we went to the second half. Well, I want you to go to the first half of the verse. The Bible said, a soft answer turneth away wrath. So So what he's saying, preacher, I'm saying this, you don't have to make other people mad. You don't have to get mad, and you don't have to make other people mad. You can help calm them down. A soft answer. Soft answer. Hey, there's nothing wrong with speaking softly to people. So, well, they came in and they were upset and it just got under my crawl. Well, you don't let them under your crawl, okay? You ought to control that. You need to step up. You need to do something about it and realize, hey, I don't have to. Remember what I said? You don't have to react. Most of the time, that's what happens to us. Something happens and it goes on and we don't think. We just react to what they've done. Don't do that. When you do, then you'll say something oftentimes you shouldn't say, and it makes the pot boil even stronger. Hey, a soft answer turneth away wrath. Now, we'll do our best to diffuse the situation. Hey, wait a minute. Whoa, take it easy. Man, I've had to do that so many times through 47 years now nearly with a Christian school. Of course, kids get mad at each other. I never cease to be amazed at some of the goofy things they get mad about. And you have to kind of chill them out and say, whoa, wait a minute. I've had them come in the office and they'd be sitting there, man, and they're both heated. You know, you can almost see the steam coming out their ears and you begin to talk to them. And just a little bit, and before long, you got them laughing at each other. When they realize, oh, this is my friend. I said, man, I'm glad I'm not your friend, you know. You treat your friend that way. But, soft answer. You don't have to get mad. You do not have to make other people mad. You're there in Proverbs chapter 15. Drop down to verse 18, would you? A wrathful man stirreth up strife. We've talked about that. But he that is slow to anger appeaseth strife. Look at chapter 16, verse 32. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. He that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. Slow to anger. Well, I just got a short fuse. And it sounds like you're quite proud of it. Well, not to be. Tie something on that fuse you got that's short and lengthen it, would you? And learn to slow down. Don't be so quick to get mad. That's the Old Testament. Okay, let's go to the New Testament. Titus chapter 1, all right? Titus chapter 1. In the book of Titus chapter 1. Notice what the Bible says. Titus chapter 1, verse 7, the Bible says, for a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry. Look in James chapter 1, look at verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Man, I think so many people, it's just the opposite. We're swift for wrath, slow to speak, and slow to hear. Actually, we're probably swift to have wrath and swift to speak and slow to hear. Boy, it ought not to be that way. The Bible said we ought to be slow to wrath. Don't be the one that's, I get mad in a hurry. Don't be the one that says I'm going to control this thing. I'm going to control this thing. We were in Ephesians when we started in chapter 4. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 4, all right? Ephesians chapter 4. Notice what the Bible says to us here about anger, all right, and being angry. In chapter 4, verse 26, the Bible said, be ye angry and sin not. Some of you said, man, I like the first part of that verse. Be ye angry. So you can always say, I got mad in this scripture. The Bible said, be ye angry. But most of us, when we get angry, we have a problem with the second part of that. All right, we have a real problem with it. Hey, can I tell you this? The Bible tells us in Psalms chapter 7, verse 11, that the Lord is angry. God is angry with the wicked every day. So you say, what are you getting at? And remember what I said, we're talking about be wise, get wisdom about anger. The truth of the matter is there's some things you ought to be angry about. There's some things that ought to stir you up. There's some things that ought to make you angry. You said, what? You ought to be angry at the devil's deception. You ought to be mad. Hey, you ought to be angry and ashamed about your own sin. And you ought to be angry at the devil and angry at yourself. Now, don't dump it on somebody else, okay? Don't dump it on somebody else. But there ought to be some anger. There's some things, man, that would justify. And I'm not going to try to go through tonight and say a bunch of those things, but the Bible said be angry and sin not. And sin not. We need to be careful. Careful. You said, why? Why you got to be so careful? Go to James chapter 1. Should have told you to keep your fingers stuck right in there. We read verse 19, but I want you to read verse 20. But I'm going to read verse 19 again. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Okay, now listen. I said you really need to be careful about what you get angry about. You need to realize the wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. You need to be sure that if you're angry, and that which brings that anger out, you better be sure. I mentioned that word. We talk about righteous indignation. I wasn't angry. I was righteously indignant. Now, sometimes we try to justify a multitude of sins that way. Need to be careful about this thing. We need to be wise about anger. Things that should upset us. Yep, there's some things that ought to make us angry. But wait a minute, if you get angry, it doesn't mean you can sin just because, well, the Bible said be angry. But it says sin not. I get angry. I get angry with a lot of things I see happening in this whole world. Stirs me up, man. It angers me to see the way oftentimes God's people are depicted in the world. Television, movies. You ever seen any depiction in any television show, in any real Hollywood movie, that pictures a Bible believer as anything other than some wild-eyed fanatic? We never do. Never do. And why? Because that aggravates me. I mean, I get angry about those things. And I realize there's not a whole lot I can do about it, but it still angers me, all right? Still angers me to see that. But wait a minute. Oh, there's things that ought to stir us up. But wait a minute. Let's make sure when we get angry that we channel that anger in the right direction. Okay? We channel that anger in the right direction. Let's not use it to cause us to lash out at somebody else. That anger, you ought to get angry at your own sin, but it ought not to cause you to jump somebody else or to cause you to get on your knees. Get right with God. Channel that anger. Make it produce something that's good. Don't let it cause you to sin. Don't let it cause you to stir up strife. Man, it's best to be wise about what you get mad over. Anger. Anger. Have a problem with it? You can control it. You can control it. Who said, give me three quick, easy steps. I don't know three quick, easy steps. All right? But you can control it. But how many things are we willing to do that are hard, but when it's something that we ought to do that's hard, we make excuses. I can't do it because it's hard. Hey, control that anger. Don't let it bring you into persecution and into suffering. Don't let it do. Don't let your anger cause something to come out of your mouth that you wish you had never said. Don't let that happen. Don't let that happen. Anger, it can overcome you, or you can overcome it. It's up to you. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. We thank you, Lord, for what you tell us. We thank you, Lord, for the truth that we find in the Bible. Lord, there's things there that help us, and Lord, you've laid some things out about anger that Yes, sir, they're hard. They're difficult. But, Lord, we know we can do it because you said we can, and you said we're supposed to do it. You'd never tell us to do, Lord, what we can't do.